This morning we get to talk about hope. The very beginning of this week, I sat down and I read Romans 8 again, and that's our topic, that's our teaching material, because we're going through a series in Romans. And I read through this, and I told Craig, I don't like it. I got nothing as I read through this. I got nothing. And so we go throughout the rest of the week, and I read other people's commentary as to what they say Romans 8 is about, specifically this portion about hope. And I come back with nothing. That's very aggravating and disturbing. So last night, they asked me if I can't remember what they called it. We had dinner with Craig and Louise, and they made this incredible spread of food. If anybody gets invited to Craig and Louise's house for dinner, do not reject that invite. Okay? They will make you food like none other. We had frozen pizzas. No. Just kidding. But we always joke with each other because I like to stress Craig out, and I ask him at the very beginning of the week, especially if he's teaching, you got that teaching done yet? And he just looks at me, you know, no, I don't. And so they asked me last night, do you have that teaching done yet? And I just said, no, and I think they thought I was joking. So I start wrestling with this idea of hope, and I continue to wrestle with this idea of hope. And many of you are here this morning, hopeless. Many of you are here this morning, and you've been several mornings here at Whitewater. You've come for months and months, or year, or 2 years, or 3 years, and you are hopeless. And I find that interesting because as a pastor, I think I teach well. So my teaching's not doing it, right? My teaching apparently isn't pointing towards hope. The counsel I give when I meet with people, I attempt to point towards hope. Hope in Jesus. Hope in the Holy Spirit. Hope in the things that actually should be hoped in, not circumstantial hope. Because if we hope in our circumstance, we're screwed. Oh, can I get an amen? When we hope in, especially even people, did you know that I will fail you at some point? Not you, Adam. You're like the coolest. Tanya Engel, do you have something to share with the rest of the class? It's Lauren this time. Again, yes. I will fail you, and I will fail you again. So hoping in people doesn't work. Hoping in our financial situation. Oh, can I get another amen? Doesn't seem to work. And the reason I've got nothing for you is because I don't know what else to say to you that hasn't already been said. Some of you come out of very awful backgrounds. You've had parents that are abusive. You have parents that have warped you. You have parents that have beat you. You've had parents that molest you. You've had parents that have raped you. And life is bleak for you. Yeah. Some of you have been to war. Some of you have been overseas. Some of you have fought for our country. And some of you have a level of knowledge that most of us don't have as you stare at people through a scope of a gun, as you pull the trigger on these people, as you see what people can do to their own people through war. And that leaves you hopeless. and leaves you with a new knowledge of this depravity of man and woman. Some of you have been wrecked by your own choices with drugs and alcohol. And you continually go back to those things. Some of you have been wrecked by suicide, whether it be your parents that commit suicide, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your cousins, you name it, whatever it is. Some of you have been wrecked by suicide and you have seen a dark world. Some of you have been wrecked by pornography and the abuse of pornography, and so you view men and women in ways that they should never be viewed, as just sex objects, as just objects meant for your own pleasure instead of objects meant to love, as Jesus would love them. Some of you have been wrecked by these things, and this just keeps falling off because I'm trying a different thing than I have before, so. So we come to this day. We come to a day where we sit and we talk about hope. Again. Hope in Jesus. And if you guys remember the Garden of Eden, the Adam and Eve story, and if you don't remember that and you've never heard the story, I'm glad you're here. If you hate Jesus and you were drugged here by your spouse, I'm glad you're here. I want to hang out with you, not to teach to you, not to hit you with a Bible, but just because I'd like to love you. But this Adam and Eve story, it starts with these two people in this garden, and Adam was created by God. We have this creation story. Not only was Adam created, but the entire earth, animals, plants, everything. And then Eve, God knew that man was stupid and needed a woman. Okay? Man's stupid, he needs a woman, so he creates woman. And it is good. Okay? Oh, and another amen. Yeah. And God puts in this garden two trees, because he's such a prankster. He's such a puppet master. False. Okay, that's false. He puts in these two trees, and he puts in a tree of life. And he puts in a tree that gives knowledge of good and evil. And he gives these people, Adam and Eve, full reign of everything that's going on in this garden. And God comes down and walks with Adam and Eve and talks with Adam and Eve. It's a relationship that won't be seen again until Jesus. And Adam and Eve are given a choice. Tree of life. Tree of knowledge of sin and death. And they choose this sin and death. They take what God had said, and they said, that's fine for you, but we're going to take this road over here. And so from that point on, it sparks this curse. It sparks this real need for God, because we are very knowledgeable, and we are very good at picking the right thing as humans, as people. False. Okay? And then we say, well, that's not really fair because God cursed Adam and Eve clear back then. Why are we paying for their mistakes? And I think if you really look hard in your life, you will see in your own world what sets you apart from God. No amens on that one? And you're going to see where you live in your life is in conflict with where God's calling you to be. And some of us blame the things that I mentioned earlier, whether it be the drugs, whether it be a hard road, whether it be suicide, whether it be just messed up family world and life. Whether it be divorce, that's a nasty thing, isn't it? Whether it be any of these things, and we look at those things, and we cling to those things, and we say, I'm this way because of that. I live in this way because of that. I respond to my terrible world and my life because of this one instance. And so therefore, I have a license to move forward in my life in that way, continually. We would never say it like that, but that's how we operate. Adam, how do you know this? Well, because I counsel many of you. And as I attempt to point to Jesus, you attempt to point me to your, yeah, but, Adam, do you know this happened to me? Adam, do you know that this isn't my fault? I know. I know this isn't your fault. Just like my own mess, a lot of it wasn't my fault. And you know what? A lot of my mess was my own fault. Because I said I knew better than God. Just like Adam and Eve. I know better. And just like you, I've operated in this world of sin, which we know what the definition of sin is, you know, it's not necessarily wrongdoing, it's being in wrong being with God, who He says you are. And we choose something different. We choose, well, that's good for you, God, that's good for other people, God, but that's not me, obviously not. And we run in those, and we point to those things, and we continually point to those things, and then we continue to point to the things that we try to cope through that mess in. And I have no other option, Adam. I have no other way to get through this, Adam. You don't understand where I'm coming from. If only you knew where God has brought me out of and what God continues to lead me in. If only you knew how easy it was for me. If only you knew my continual battle with God because I tell Him, your way is dumb. Yeah? If you would know how I weep when God calls me into something, or God calls me out of something, or God points out areas in my life that are deficient and that I'm not living in my full potential in, when it comes to loving my family, when it comes to loving my wife, when it comes to loving you. Because my heart of justice creeps up and say, yeah, but you deserve what you got. You deserve what you got, so you don't need my love. We were talking shop around the table last night. And we were talking about kind of the ills of ministry a little bit, and people. And Craig made the statement, don't give up on them. And if you understand what we do as pastors, it's easy to give up on you. This is just confessions, I guess. Because we're at war within ourselves of this justice piece. It's easy to give up on you, but Jesus says, no, 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 no. You're going to get down in the dirt with them. You're going to get messy. You're going to live life with these people. You're going to love them like I love them. You're going to see them as I see them. God, but that's not what I see right now. He said, no, I'll change that in you. And it's easy to lose sight of hope for me as a pastor. Especially when we come to these time and time again issues. And it's not just you, it's me. It's even my own time and time again issues with God. Adam, we've talked about this. And you're still continuing to do something different. Adam, we've gone through this. You really haven't learned your lesson? And so we lose hope. We continue to lose hope. Hope is a funny thing because that's exactly what Jesus died for. For your messed up world. For your jacked up ways. For your unloving nature. For your drug-addled mind. for the horrific things you've had to see, for the horrific things you've had to endure. God saw those things. God was there the whole time. And he said, this is a result of sin. This is a result of the curse. This is a result of you. Sometimes sin happens to us that's a result of other people's sin. Amen? But in that, there's still hope. Last week we talked about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the spirit of adoption that God gave us that means we don't live in fear any longer. We don't live in fear of this slavery any longer to sin. Jesus broke those things. Jesus made everything right in that. And Paul, a follower of Jesus who was not a follower of Jesus, he was a follower of law. He was a follower of tradition, and he killed Jewish people and people that would be after the cause of Christ. Because there was no hope in that system. Well, something happened to Paul. He had an encounter with Jesus. He had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And it changed his world forever. And so he's writing about these things. And I want to read these things. Again, I have nothing for you. All I can do is call this out because I see you sitting here day in, day out, Sunday after Sunday. And you're still left hopeless, which is what my prayer for you has been since I started reading this. God, I can't change their world, but you can. Just as you changed Paul's world, just as you changed all these people's worlds in Romans, just as you changed everything, God, you can change their world so they can see hope. And that's what I've been praying for you. So I'm going to read this, and I just want you to listen. Listen to what the words say. I'm not going to try to unpack any of this stuff. But I just want you to hear what God has done for you to bring you hope. Hopeless people. It says this in Romans 8, 15 through 30. And I'm backing up to what we taught a little bit last week. And I need to say something. I kept referring to the Holy Spirit last week as an it. And it's not an it. The Holy Spirit's referred to as he and even she. Let that blow your mind. Okay? So as we talk about this, it says this, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. And as I said last week, Abba is just a real intimate word for father, like daddy. It'd be our equivalent of daddy. For his spirit joins with our spirit of brokenness, our spirit of hopelessness, our spirit of hurt, our spirit of bitterness, our spirit of anger. His spirit, God's spirit, who is like the opposite of all of those things, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are his children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. Paul's not pulling any punches, is he? He didn't say rainbows and unicorns there. He used the word suffering. That sounds fun, huh? We share in this suffering. And this is our text for today. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse. It's interesting in the different translations, in the ESV, it uses the word futility. In the Message, it uses the words held back. In the NIV, it uses the word frustration. In the King James Version, it uses the word vanity. All of these things describe why this curse exists. And all of those things are a good definition of who I am and what I've been through. But he goes on to say, but with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when we will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Yes, hopeless people, you have been groaning. Yes, you join my groans. And we believers, us who claim Jesus, us who claim to know Jesus, also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering, meaning that it is possible for you as a believer to still sin. Let that blow your mind. But Paul said we are no longer slaves to that, right? Paul says that no longer drives the bus. That no longer defines who we are. We're not just these people that are just trapped in this way and we can't get out of it. God does not do that when you get the Spirit of Jesus. God gives us a new way. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised. Now, he's talking about not the kingdom here and now. He's talking about the kingdom when Jesus comes back and sets everything right. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. He goes on to say, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good of those who love God and are called according to the purpose for them, to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. This glory that's talked about, this hope that's talked about, these aren't just simple words. These aren't just easy words. These aren't just something you can gloss over. When I go and visit people in the jail, people, you know who you are. A lot of times when I describe Whitewater, I talk about, well, our population's interesting because it's people who have been in jail, or will be in jail, or will be in jail again. There's a lot of those folks there. But when I go and visit you in jail and I hear your sob story, which is a good, I'm not making fun of it, it is an awful story usually what lands you in jail. I go and I visit and I hear the hurt and I hear the pain and I hear how you haven't been able to cope with life any better than that, and that's usually what ends you up in jail. Because instead of clinging to hope, instead of clinging to Jesus, you've clung to the mess of your world. And then I come in and I try to speak hope into that darkness. I try to speak hope into that mess. And I wouldn't come if I didn't think it was possible to get out. I wouldn't waste my breath. If I knew of another way other than Jesus, I would not. I would tell you that way instead of Jesus. When you come and speak to us in our offices and we tell you hope is possible for you in your darkest situations, we wouldn't tell you that if we didn't believe it. We wouldn't, if there was something else, we'd give it to you. We really would. And so we hold out hope. Why? Well, because Jesus is real. Adam, how do you know Jesus is real? I've been praying, and my situation hasn't changed. I've been praying, and my prayers go unanswered. I've been doing this Jesus thing for a long time, and it's just empty. It's just void. Well, I've been doing this Jesus thing for a long time, too. And I've gone through the desert just like you've gone through. I've gone through 40 days in the wilderness, literally, where I was told by God to meet him for 40 days, and he stonewalled me and was silent. And that pissed me off. I was angry. That time of 40 days with God ended in me yelling in my bedroom. My sons were in the living room. My wife was in the living room. Just I'm crying. I'm yelling. I attempted to teach God every four-letter word I knew in order to evoke a response out of him. Because it hurt. It angered me. And at the end of that 40 days, I am just this mad, angry mess. And God breaks his silence, because it was my cursing that did it. It really helped. And God breaks his silence and he says, you know what, Adam, the only thing I've ever wanted for you is the same thing I've always wanted for you. Is just to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now go live like you know you need to live. Go live within this kingdom life that you continually call people to. This is when I've been in ministry. This was here in my time here. And my complete refusal to buy the hope that's offered here, that shut me down really quick when I hear from God like that. And you know what's funny is, because I'm so smart and brilliant, I didn't like his answer. I didn't like hearing what he had to say. So I continued to plead for God to give me something different than what he already said. Can I get an amen? God, surely you don't mean that. Surely you don't mean that my life is going to look like this. Surely you don't mean to go love that person who has this issue, who can't cope with life any better. Surely you would not subject my family to these people. Surely we heard you wrong when you said the sex offender needs to spend the night in your house with your two boys for the night. Surely we heard you wrong. No, Adam, you didn't. You need to do the things that I keep pointing you to. You need to do the things that you've already read. You need to do the things that you've already heard. And that's where my true hope lies in. Not in the continuing in the mess, in the rat race. Yeah, but God, I know, Adam. Yeah, but God, I know, Adam. Yeah, but God, I know. Do what I'm asking you to do. And so I start dabbling in that. I put a toe in. Okay, God, what are you really calling me to do? And as we talked about, as John wrote Jesus' words, if you do this, if you do these things, if you stick this out, the things that you're reading within Scripture, the words that Jesus has already said to us, if you do these things, you will know truth. God, it can't be that easy. If you do these things, you're going to see truth. You're going to see this is real. You're going to see this is going to move you. You're going to see this is going to move other people around you. You're going to see that this is truth. And the truth will set you free. Free from the hopelessness of what your dad did to you, what your mom did to you, what your cousin did to you, what any family member has done to you. Free from the hopelessness of drugs and addiction. I'm not talking about an instant sobering. Don't get me wrong when I say these things. There's going to be some work that you're going to have to do through the Holy Spirit. Wait, there's work involved in chasing after Jesus? You're going to have to do some stuff. You're going to have to do some stuff just like I had to do some stuff. You're going to have to take Jesus at his word and believe that what he says is true. You're going to have to put that into practice, and you're going to watch your life change. You're going to watch the world around you change, and people aren't going to change how you want them to change. Understand that, okay? You might be hated because you adopt Jesus, or because of Jesus' adoption and you've accepted this adoption. You may be hated by your family members and looked upon as stupid. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But there's work involved in this. If you do these things, you will know truth, and the truth will set you free from this hopeless world you're living in now. How do I know this works? Because Stephen, sitting back there, calling you out, buddy, his life reflects it. Because Rose, sitting back there, her life reflects it. Now, if you go ask Stephen and you go ask Rose how easy it is to follow Jesus, they'll say, it's so easy. It's so good. I've never been harmed in any way. Matt Coulter, Shelley Coulter, this whole camp staff right here. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Mark Sr., Mark Jr. You guys know. And I watch your worlds, and I get to be a part of your worlds, and I get to see the hope that's in your world, regardless of the garbage, regardless of the mess, regardless of the pain. And I celebrate in that. You guys teach me so much in that. Many of you share the same story. So you hopeless people out there that can't get a grasp on this, that can't figure this out, that can't understand this, look around you, look at the world around you, look at these people here. Not everybody has hope like we have hope. But I know it's real. It's tangible. It's true. It's here. And it's because of what Jesus has done. It's because people have said, okay, God, I don't get it, and it hurts me, and it is a pain, but I'm going to do the things you said. Uh-oh, I'm finding out they're real. They're true. Uh-oh, I'm finding freedom in areas of my life. I no longer have to live hopeless. I no longer have to live shackled. I no longer have to do those things anymore because Jesus died for those things. God set things right. So hopeless people in the room, cling to this freedom. Quit rejecting what you read in here. Quit rejecting these things that God calls you to. Quit living in the mess. I'm a terrible counselor, I told you. My life's a wreck. Well, just stop doing the things that wreck your life, okay? I'm not telling you it's easy. I'm not telling you it's a pie in the sky. I'm telling you stop. Why not try Jesus? Try Jesus. Give him a test drive. And he's going to shake up your world. He's going to show himself, and he's going to floor you. I told you I had nothing, but I've talked quite a bit for having nothing. It's interesting how God fleshes this stuff out. I literally just have scripture here pulled up. That's it. But my friends, you don't have to be hopeless any longer. You don't. Jesus is real. Jesus is truth. Jesus wants so much more for you than what you're giving him and than how you're living right now. I believe that, and I believe in you. And the staff here, Craig Johnson, myself, Tanya, the elders here, everybody that serves here knows that truth and understands that truth. Go find one of us. Go grab one of us and ask, help me understand this. Help me see this more. These people that are going to be coming up to pray for you. I forgot their names. Mark and Christine. Christine will be in the back. Where is she? I see a hand raised. Yep, she's just sitting right in this back corner. She'll be waiting to grab you and pray for you, all right? Mark will probably be up here. Come see them. Come ask more about the hope. Come ask them to pray over your hopeless situation. Come share that with us. Come share your burden with us. Not so we can throw it up on Facebook or point fingers at you, but so we can actually actively be praying for you and how to help you get out of this mess. You're not in it alone. As we talked about, we're community, right? This is family. It's us pulling for each other. Come see them. There is hope now, and there is hope for the future. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you are and who you are and who you call us to be. God, we know the world is a mess, and we know that it's our sin and the sin of others that have put us in this mess. We claim responsibility for the things that are ours, God, and we pray for the people that their sins have caused us to be in a world of hurt and a world of mess. We pray for these people, that they would see hope out of their situation, that they would not live buried under guilt, that they would not live buried under shame, but that they would see you for who you are, God. That it would change their world. That's a hard prayer to pray, God. We understand it. For the abusers that have hurt us, for the people that have maimed us, for the situations that we've been put in at the hand of others, God, we pray for them. God, we pray for the hope that you do offer. We pray for the hope that you give us every day. God, I pray that these people are bold enough and willing enough to look at their mess and say, you know what, I'm going to try it Jesus' way. God, I pray that they test drive Jesus today. May we see you for who you are. May we see this world that you've created for us to live in. May we see these people that you've allowed us to live around as good. Broken, but good. May we see them as people we need to love instead of hate. May we see them as people we need to walk through life with instead of just not. Change our worlds, God. Build hope in this room this morning. Give hope to the hopeless. Now and for the future.